We have our graduation fellowship. We bring our graduates up front and present them with a Bible from the church, and we try to find something nice to say about them. I couldn't think anything nice to say about Kristen, so we're just not going to bring her up. Now, if Kristen will come forward, that'd be great. So, are you nervous? Come on up. You shouldn't be nervous, right? A little bit? No? You should at least be a little bit nervous, right? You never know what we might say. So I feel like with Kristen, there's a little bit of an end of an era because of the fact that we had a group of teenagers that, and now Kristen graduating that group of teenagers. We're excited about the teenagers that are coming up, but there isn't very many on the horizon that's getting ready to graduate. So it started off with probably her older sister, and through those years, from Kaylee to Christian Bateman, Christian Pease's class, down to Reese's class, to Andrew's class, now Kristen's class. She was always the youngest one. She was always the last one to get to go to the teen activities, always the youngest one to get to go to the afterglows. It was sad to see her sisters go. She wanted to go. Not sure if her sisters wanted to go, but she wanted to go. And it's a little bit sad to see Kristen graduate because it is something. Now, once again, there was lots of kids mixed in there, but to those that have been faithfully and regular here and still here, it's going to be kind of weird not to see those kids after the end of August, that group of kids that had been here for so long and done so much and been so faithful. So just thankful for them. So some things I think about Kristen and thankful for about Kristen, I'm excited about. I'd like to say I'm excited to watch her grow up. Yes, but she's never said, most of the time you said how they got big. Well, she's always been tall, so I don't know. She came to her church probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago, and she was already that tall anyway, so no. So, but she, you never really, it's been nice to watch her mature in her faith, and also as a young lady, very thankful for her. She's been super faithful. If there was something going on, she was going to be there. Whether she really thought the activity was going to be fun or not, she would still show up. I'm thankful for that. She's very kind, and she's very friendly with others. Sometimes, being homeschooled, she doesn't have as many social abilities as other people, but she tried really hard to be friendly with people, right? And it didn't always work out, did it? So, but she tried, and that's a lot more than what some would say. And I've never, ever, me personally, now I'm sure other people can say, I've never heard her say something ugly to somebody else. I think it's part of her heart. I know you have before in the past, I'm sure, right? At least thought it. But I've never seen her. Usually teenagers, they get upset, they get overwhelmed, frustrated, especially when you take them to camp and conferences and things like that. You see the good side and the bad side. And we've seen good sides and bad sides of Kristen's, but never ever heard her be really ugly towards somebody. And I don't know if I can say that about a lot of other teenagers. So thankful for that. She's always been willing to try new things, sometimes reluctantly. She doesn't like playing games. Most kids like playing games and physical games. She's like, do I have to play that one? If I said yes, she would go out and do it. She usually get hurt, but she'd go out and do it. And you can't forget about her sense of fashion. And you need to pray for her college roommates because they have to share a room, sometimes four people in a room. And with all Kristen's clothes and shoes, you need to pray for them. So sensitive hearts, a servant's heart. I start talking about all the things she's done for the Lord here at her church, whether it's playing the piano, singing the choir, puppets, Super Saturday. It could keep on going, helping his classes. And like I said, for the last however many years it's been, she's always been a servant and always been willing to help. She's been kind to so many young and old, and her faithfulness has been an encouragement to me as a pastor, knowing that she's going to be there. And she smiles. Not everybody smiles, but she smiles, and that's an encouragement to have someone who smiles, and she definitely is going to be missed. My encouragement to you is to be sensitive to God. She has a sensitive heart. I've seen her cry before when somebody was mean to her. And it's just, she's very sensitive. And I'm thankful for that. Make sure you're sensitive towards God and God's heart for your life. And if you live for him, you'll never regret it. So we will definitely miss you as you go off. She is getting ready to go to Pensacola Christian College to study music, and we're excited about her. Obviously, she's going to be here next Sunday, and obviously, she's going to come back Christmas and summer times. But it is with great joy and very proud to give this to you and tell you congratulations. Also with a sad heart to think in a few months she'll be out somewhere else. So let's give Kristen a round of applause. Don't get me wrong, we have a good group of young people that are coming up. It's just a new generation of young people coming up, and I'm thankful for them. And those going from sixth grade to seventh grade, there's like four or five of them, and that's really exciting to see them going up to the youth group, and excited for what God has planned for our future. But unless the Lord brings somebody else, I think we should pray the Lord bring his families. We won't have anybody graduating five school, at least for the next couple years. Let's go ahead and jump in our Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As most of you already know, and as you can tell from the table that's set down there, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper tonight. And I am going to take our time and walk through the passages of Scripture that talks about the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table and things like that. It's been a little while. I know this morning's message, we looked at Esther, but we looked at it from a different perspective, how she had to be encouraged. But I know we just preached about that a little bit in last spring. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we usually talk about this right before we take the Lord's Supper, a very short, condensed version. But since it's been such a long time because of COVID that we've had it, have not had the Lord's Supper, I'd like to once again teach and preach through this passage of Scripture and hopefully be an encouragement and help to you. Today being Memorial Day, a lot of things going on in our church today. It's good to have a day set aside. Memorials are good. Think about the different memorials in the Bible. And I'm thankful for what Memorial Day represents. I know we spent a lot of time on that this morning. We won't spend a lot more time except for to publicly say how much we're thankful for those who paid that ultimate price so we can have freedom and liberty here. And I've seen lots of different posts and seen lots of different pictures about how people were able to celebrate this coming Monday because of someone else who was willing to give their life. So let's never forget that. We forget the price that was paid as we observe Memorial Day tomorrow. And let's remember that. I think, as I said earlier today, I do think it's a solemn time when some are just celebrating and others are mourning for what it represents. I think those who died in service would want us to enjoy our freedoms, but also it's an honor to remember them and just to say thank you for what they've done. Memorials throughout the Bible, really, there's a lot of different things you can look to. We preach about that Ebenezer stone here recently. Talked about the different 12 stones with the nation of Israel. Lots of different things that we've thought about over the years, what the cross represents, what the tomb represents. This is one thing that the Lord instituted the night before he was going to die. And you can imagine what's going through his heart and what's going through his mind. You see that a little bit. The veil's pulled back a little bit in the garden. You can see what he was going through. But this was so important that he wanted to institute this night. And he tells us to do this in remembrance of him. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know what? We need reminders. We need special days to remind us. We should be thankful every day, right? But it's good to have Thanksgiving to remind us that and that grateful heart. We should always be celebrating our Lord's birth and our Lord's resurrection. But it's nice to have specific days set aside for that. Part of the reason why I think that the Lord instituted this is so we would not forget. And as we see his sacrifice, as we see his suffering, it inspires us to want to live for him more. And so as we go through this night, at the end of the service, we're going to go ahead and have the Lord's Supper and just kind of go through it right towards the end of the actual end of the service. I want you to think about some different things. The title of this evening's message is, This Do in Remembrance of Me. This Do in Remembrance of Me. And we're going to look at some different things that we should remember as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to go verses 23 through 33, and then we're going to go ahead and read the entire passage, and then we'll go back and hit the different things we should remember. It says, For I have received the Lord, this is Paul speaking about what he received from the Lord himself, that which also I delivered unto you. He wasn't there, obviously, in that upper room that night. The Lord had to teach him this. Once again, this passage is a great passage to look at because there are things in it that teach us about the Lord's Supper that we don't see in other spots. It's written here on purpose, so we take it seriously. He says, I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, that the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, I guess you can ponder that he gave thanks. He was getting ready to die for the sins of mankind, but for an example, he gave thanks for what was provided there. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he's saying, look, this is, you're supposed to do it in remembrance of me. It's not a game. It's not for fun. It's not because we're hungry or thirsty. It's to do something in remembrance. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a very special day. It's a day where we celebrate Kristen graduating, or it's a day where we observe or at least begin talking about Memorial Day. And Lord, remembering that price that was paid by so many, so many serving our country. And Lord, it's also a day that we take time to remember the memorial that you put in the Bible here at the Lord's Supper. And Lord, to remind us the ultimate price that you paid for us. This morning we looked at so many characters that were willing to die. Lord, you came to die. Lord, you shed your blood for us. Help us never forget that. And tonight I pray that it be a message that would be encouragement and a help and just a reminder that God, we love you for what you did for us. Lord, we need to be right with you. We don't want to be living this Christian life halfway, but we want to give our lives over to you because of what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We won't be having an invitation tonight. We're going to just go and do the Lord's Supper. I think it's one of the best invitations you can have, is as you're sitting there and considering and examining yourself, that's what you do during an invitation time. So we're just going to kind of flow through into the service. We will get opportunity for somebody to leave if they want to slip out before the Lord's Supper. But at the same time, to kind of let you know the way the service is going to go, we're just going to kind of walk it right through. So there are some things that he wants us to remember this. And in this passage of Scripture, there's some things I think would be good for us to remember. Number one, we need to remember his sufferings. When you read those words that he says in verse 24, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And I think of those words, broken for you. And I think about if you remember his sufferings, there's many scriptures that are written, the blood that was shed. It gives us a vivid picture of his suffering and his pain. Think about what it says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 7, the Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I don't know about you, I think sometimes we read those verses and we partake of it and we forget exactly what physically he went through as a suffering. I think we need to be reminded of that. And we see the price he's willing to pay. And it reminds us that what should I hold back from him? As you take the Lord's Supper tonight, I want you to remember his sufferings. I don't want you to just remember the physical sufferings. I want you to think about his sacrifices too. If you think about God himself becoming man, the sacrifice that was there. When he came, he actually came literally to be our sacrifice. We think of all these Old Testament sacrifices. They were all a picture pointing to the one Lamb of God that was going to be slain. I think about what it says in Philippians chapter number 2 when it speaks of the sacrifices he made. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In this passage, he's saying, this is the same mind that you can have. This is the same mindset we should strive for. So as we consider the Lord's Supper tonight, we remember his sufferings, but consider that sacrifice. He says, but made himself of no reputation. This is God himself, the Son of God. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't make himself a king. He didn't make himself emperor. He didn't make himself some athlete that, and we, today there are so many people that idolize the wrong people and the wrong things. And you think about tomorrow being Memorial Day, there's people that won't even consider it, but they'll celebrate some athlete or actress or actor. We're missing what the true heroes of this world is. And even when it comes here that we forget about the sacrifices that was made, so many times people idolize people that have never helped them one bit, but they'll ignore those who have sacrificed and loved them. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Not only did he make himself of no reputation, he took another step down, the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Me and you think that's okay, this likeness of men. But for him being God to come into the likeness of us, oh, how much he sacrificed for us. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So as you take it, let's remember, number one, his sufferings. But think about what he sacrificed. He sacrificed, he suffered shame, he suffered rejection, he suffered poverty, he suffered pain and death. He did all those things. He did not have to do any of those things, but he sacrificed himself and made himself available. Pilate even asked him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." This is the whole reason why he came, was to actually be our sacrifice, to be broken and beaten and shed his blood. So as we're remembering this, let us remember his sufferings and his sacrifice. Then I think I remember his compassion. You go to verse number 24, and there's two words in there that I guess kind of jump off the page to me. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken." Those next two words, "for you." He saw our need, he had compassion for us, and he was willing to do this for me and for you. Romans 5, verses 6 and 8 put it this way, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," not that we were good, not that we were worthy, not that we were righteous, "Christ died for us as sinners, the enemies of God." If we will remember his compassion, we in no way, shape, or form deserve this. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He had no sin in his own, but he died willingly taking our place." 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Remember his compassion. as you're taking and you consider his suffering and his sacrifices, remember the compassion and who he did it for. He did it for the world, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's for you. It's for each person that's here that he showed his compassion. So it's a part that we can all be a part of. Next thing I want you to think about is remember the victory that was won. Remember the victory that was won. You go to verse number 26. The Bible says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death." You're showing forth something. What's so special about his death? All men have died. All men, but Jesus rose again. He was the first fruits of death. It says here in the Bible, John, and first we'll go 1 Corinthians 15:20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." You see, anyone could have died, but it was only the God-man that was able to pay for our sins through his death and then guaranteed eternal life by rising again. Remember when he was speaking to one of Lazarus' sisters, he said, "I am the resurrection and life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He even says, "Believest thou this?" Do you believe that? The scripture says in Revelation chapter 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive, alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." If it would have just be about the body being broken, if it would just be about the blood being shed, it would be a sorrowful time. But we can also rejoice in knowing that his death shows us that we will live again. As we talked about in the baptism this morning, we talked about how it's a picture of how he was crucified and he was buried and he rose again, and that we have newness of life through the resurrection. It's a victory that was won. So as you're taking this, let's remember his sufferings. We can't get past that. And sacrifice, all he gave up. But remember who he did it for. He did it because he loved you. How often do we do things because we love others? We have compassion for them. We want to help them. But the victory that was won that day, as you're taking it, is something that we remember his death. And also, not just his death, remember that he's coming again. He says here in verse number 26, and he says that the Lord's death till when? Till he come. That means that we should still be doing it today. And maybe we don't do it as often as we need to or as often as we should. We try to do it about four times a year. We try to let the Lord lead and the Holy Spirit guide when we do those things. Memorial Days, one of those days we enjoy doing it. The Sunday around Easter, we enjoy doing it. We also do it around Thanksgiving and other things like that. Just to get our hearts ready to serve and our hearts ready to understand what it means. But he says that we should do it again till he come. You think about it, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He died and he was buried. He rose again and he's left us here to do something, but he's going to return. We got to remember that. This is a symbol. This is something he instituted. So we'll remember that he suffered for us and that he sacrificed for us because he loved us and that victory was won that day. But it also reminds us that he is returning and he is returning again for his people. When I think about how he suffered, it makes me want to worship. When I think about how he sacrificed, it makes me want to sacrifice more. When I consider the victory that was won, it causes me to rejoice, and thinking he's going to come again causes me to want to live for him today. He says it in his word. He gives us promises in John 14. He reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, and also he even says right at the end of the Bible, he's coming back. Remember, this is also something to take seriously. I know I've told you stories before. You say, "Pastor, your stories are all the same." It's because I'm not going to change. I mean, that's when I was a kid, that's what my story was. So I'll tell it if you heard it before. I know some preachers like to embellish stories, and they like to tell. I think that's wrong. You shouldn't lie. You should tell the truth. And I know I've heard certain preachers, the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I don't know if they didn't tell it all the way the first time, or I try my best. And as you get older, you forget things. That's why we're remembering it. But it's something my pastor was very good at, taking time to make sure that we took it seriously. He would tell you kids, you know, this is not a game. It's not just because you like grape juice. He would tell us that that the scriptures make it important that we take it seriously. Verses 27 through 32, he tells us why it's important to take seriously. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." Now, that's an interesting word. shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, that's written there for a reason and a purpose, and it's something I think you should take note of. He says, make sure that you're right. Now, how do you make sure you're right? Number one, are you a Christian? He writes in here, we and us. It's written to a church. It's written to believers. And he's saying to them, he says, make sure you are worthy. And he says, well, I'm not worthy of the Lord. I'm not worthy of salvation. I get all that, but he instituted it. He said, I want you to be a part of it. And he does. And I'm not trying to make people feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't partake of it. In all reality, by the grace of God, if you don't know Christ right now as your personal Savior, guess what? You can get right. You can get saved. You can call out to him. And he says he'll save whoever will come to him. And you know, that's amazing. And you can become worthy of it if you're not sure. But also, not only does it talk about being unworthy in that thought, and I think it's important to remember that day when you became a Christian and you asked Christ to save you. In our church, we go over this, I know, every time. I know some people say, well, there's a difference between what some churches practice communion. Some practice closed communion. And closed communion means it's only for church members, and only for church members in good standing can partake of it. They even move the communion to a special night of the week, so that way they make sure they don't have visitors. Then there's something called open communion, which means everyone is here, should partake of it, and be a part of it. Our church, and what my conviction is to really truly discern the Lord's body, is to have something called close communion, to teach these verses and say, now the responsibility is on you. You should, number one, make sure that you know Christ as your personal Savior. And number two, you should be right with him. I think it's important that we examine ourselves. Why? It's because the Bible tells us to. Verse 28, but let us examine himself. Verse number 30, for this cause many of ye are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourselves, we should not be judged. He says, if we would learn to examine ourselves and learn to judge ourselves, then we will not have to be chastened to the Lord, like it says in verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Is this serious? I think it is. And the Bible says unworthily. I think it's saying those who do not know him should not take of it. Those who have sin in their hearts and sin in their lives and choose not to get right with him, is someone who's saying that that sin is more important than what this represents. And I don't want to be a part of that. So where do you see that? Well, you think what it says over here in verse number 30. He says, for many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He says, there are some that are sick because of it. There are some that are dead because of it. That's what he's talking about, the sicknesses. So that's why we need to examine ourselves. Make sure that we're clean when we come to this table. Make sure as we partake of it, that we do it with a clean heart and be aware of the great price that was paid. So tonight, as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to think of a few things. That word unworthily bothers me because of the fact of what it represents. I want to make sure I'm taking it, and I want to do it worthily. I want to make sure I'm right. Then in verse 29, he says, not discerning the Lord's body. Different people have different thoughts about that. Is it referring to the church, or is it referring to Christ's body? I think it's referring to the Lord's body, that what he did for us. And as he did this for us, it's saying that we're not viewing it the right way. We're viewing the suffering and the sacrifice as cheap, in a mocking way. I think that he wants us to say, he doesn't want us to remember him that way. He wants us to remember him as God that came to this world and was willing to suffer and sacrifice for us. And not only was he willing to suffer and sacrifice for us, he wants us to remember what he did on that cross, but that also he rose again from the grave, and that he is returning someday. And I want you to take this, and I want you to be a part of this. I didn't institute this to leave certain people out. I instituted this so you would see how important it is to be right with God and partake of this. And remember, what I did for you was important. Don't forget. Just like the theme of tomorrow or the Memorial Day weekend is the battle cries, don't forget what others did. And I understand that completely. This is, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. As we live our lives and we remember, who are inspired to do his work, inspired to do his will. So we're going to ask, we're going to do a little bit different tonight. We're going to ask the two deacons to come forward as we get ready to partake of it. We're only going to have two people because of COVID. We've done things a little bit differently.